It's B-Maz and Beamer. Now, Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Getting going here, B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN. Joe, how's it going this morning?
Hey, it's going all right. As you said, get it going. I had a really rough time waking up this morning. I didn't wake up till about 8 o'clock. So, ready to get the day started.
But you were here.
Yeah. Exactly.
That actually explains a lot.
I'm sure it does.
Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here with you for the next hour or so. Hey, you know, we were talking yesterday about what COVID mandates and restrictions are still in place. You know, maybe they were listening up in Ottawa. Probably not. But the federal government in Canada set to announce today an end to the COVID vaccine mandate for domestic travel on planes and trains. In Canada. So it doesn't impact the border here, you know, all the stuff that you have to do if you're crossing from Buffalo up into, or, you know, in Niagara Falls or anywhere on our border crossings here. But, yeah, I mean, you had to show proof of vaccination, everything, just to get on a plane to go from, you know, Toronto to Hamilton or Montreal or Winnipeg or wherever you're going.
Right.
And that is going to go away today in Canada. So we'll see. Maybe things will change a little more rapidly up there north of the border after we did that show yesterday. You know, kind of just wondering where, you know, what's going on.
You're welcome, Canada, for the content we put out there and made them think, made them listen.
Yeah, it's maybe it's us. Maybe it's us. But no, I was looking at that Canada news, Joe. And I, you know, saw this. You know, it's a slippery slope once you're online, right?
Oh, yeah.
You, you know, you're on a website, you're checking out one story, and then you're just kind of like, wonder what else is going on up there. And that was me this morning. And I'm checking this out. This is just a, this is out of the CBC up in Canada. And it's not, you know, talking about any one province or something like that in particular. It's more in general.
Yes.
The Canadian cities are legalizing alcohol in parks. And it says some are celebrating, others are worrying that it's a slippery slope. There's calls to allow drinking wine and beer in parks. I guess they've grown in the last couple of years since the pandemic. You know, when the bars and restaurants were closed.
Makes sense.
Want to hang out in a park and have a drink. It can't do that, according to law. It was a pilot last summer launching, making it legal to consume wine, beer, and spirits at 58 designated spots all across up in Calgary, up on the other side of the country there. But I, you know, I wonder what people would think about that over here. You know, is that, does that fall under the realm of slippery slope to you? Of, you know, what are we doing here, or is it something that just kind of seems natural that you would allow to happen? 803-0930 if you want to join me and Joe here this morning. What do you think? They're legalizing alcohol in parks.
Yeah, I see nothing wrong with it. I've always been, hey, as long as you're not drinking behind the wheel, you know what I mean? Like, a park, it's an open place where people like to go, hang out, picnics. I mean, what's more romantic than a picnic with a bottle of wine? That shouldn't be outlawed. Yeah, I'm saying, hey, you know, you can keep smoking away from parks. That bothers most people. But having a few drinks at a park, I see nothing wrong with it. And I hope this passes. I understand. I mean, you're always going to have the groups that say, oh, my gosh, it's encouraging drinking by having this law. I don't think it's encouraging drinking at all. It's just saying, if you're at the park, you want to have a few brews, you're not driving, what's wrong with it?
Yeah. And, you know, I think for most people, that's kind of right. Now there's the other side of this. Now critics up in Canada, according to the CBC story, say that it could lead to inappropriate or potentially unsafe behavior. Now I don't know if that's really what they're going after. I think what critics really are trying to say is, hey, listen, this is a beautiful park. We don't want to turn it into a space where drunks just hang out all day. And then we're not going to send our kids to the park because it's just a bunch of people drinking out of brown bags. And a similar thing happened by me, Joe, up in the city of Tonawanda in North Tonawanda, right up there at the Gateway Harbor in the park there. They built a beautiful new, you know, bike stop area, benches. I mean, it's a nice park and a total remodel of some of the areas by the water. And what started happening, apparently there was no law against drinking in public. I don't know if there's no open container law per se, but in the city of Tonawanda, there was something on or not on the books where you could drink in public, okay. I guess. Everyone knows East Aurora. Everyone knows New Orleans.
Yeah.
Savannah.
Las Vegas.
City of Tonawanda, I guess, was somewhere up there. But what you ended up with was at this nice new park place and location, it just ended up being a bunch of people hanging out in the middle of the day getting wasted.
That's unfortunate.
Well, that's what you want to avoid, right? And I think that is the pushback over here of why you wouldn't want to do this. Okay, it's a park. It's a nice place for kids, for families. We don't want to turn this into an encampment for day drinking. So can you reach a happy medium in between those two things without saying we're completely outlawing drinking in the park, you know, and we don't want it to turn into something like that?
Are you talking more designated areas? I see one of the pictures on the CBC site. It's only between certain hours. I mean, this one from Calgary is from 11 a.m. to whatever 2100 is. You can, for 10 hours, you can drink in this part of the park, and you have a two-hour maximum.
Yeah, that seems weird. That seems like not enforceable. My idea, Joe, is just this.
Okay.
That, and this would never happen because then it's just, it's basically profiling is what you do. But most people, you keep it illegal. And this is, by the way, how probably most parks around Western New York operate.
Okay.
People are drinking in parks all the time right now.
Yes.
All the time.
Right.
And for the most part, it's not a problem. And, you know, for the most part, if you are drinking in a park, you come across somebody, you're not supposed to be doing that. You might hide it or whatever. As long as you're not being unruly or a menace or a danger to somebody, you're pretty much left alone. But if it turns into something where, all right, now you're starting to annoy someone, it seems unsafe, you're not being nice about it, you're littering, then the law is still on the books. All right, get out of here. You're getting a ticket. You can't be drinking in the park.
So you're saying keep it as it is and just
basically
have an understanding that is kind of the understanding now. I mean, I have no problem with designated parts of the park, certain hours at the park. But, I mean, then you have the problem of, is that just drawing attention to it? You know, obviously, people talking about it. Oh, you know what? That does sound like a great idea. I think I'll go to the park.
Which I don't think is a bad idea either. You need more people going to the parks. Not enough people go to the park. It's a great time. Go outside. Hang out.
Yeah, not enough people going outside in general.
But I, you know, is this something that needs to be done? I'm not sure. But that's what they're talking about up in Canada. That's the main story, CBC. When I was looking in, you know, it took me a while to find. You don't have to show proof of vaccination to get on a plane in Canada, potentially starting today. But the Canadian cities legalizing alcohol in parks, that was big up there.
I'll say this. You know, speaking of the alcohol in parks, I've always been for, you know, like summer afternoon weekends, kind of getting rid of the open container laws and letting people enjoy their street, right? Again, not getting behind the wheel, but, you know, maybe having a drink while you walk the dog, drink while you're walking down your street. I don't know. I've always been for, maybe in the summer we could relax some of those laws on the weekends.
Like a reverse parking law?
Yeah. Yeah, between these hours,
when the parking ban is in place,
exactly,
you can't do it on the roads.
When you can't park on the street, you can't drink on the street. But on the weekends in the summer, if you're out, if you're in, you know, if you're taking a walk and you want to, again, being responsible, and you want to have a beverage in your hand, I see nothing wrong with that. We got to make the most of summer.
What do you think about it? 803-0930. We'll go to Rick. Rick is in East Aurora, and now you're on WBEN. What do you think, Rick?
Good morning. I wanted to just share this with folks. It's a little known fact, and this is coming off the Easter Music Fest weekend, where people do walk around town with open containers. There is no open container law in East Aurora. You can walk around with an open container at any time that you choose to.
Yeah, we were saying, I think that's a well-known fact, Rick. It's one of the appeals.
Sure, because, it's funny because every time I mention it to someone, they're like, oh, I never heard about that. So I think, look, if you're in the park, you're minding your own business, you're just hanging out with family and friends, you're fine. If it starts to get rowdy, then sure, crack down on it. But, you know, look, I don't drink, but it's one of those things that's, as long as you're just minding your own, leave everybody else alone, pay attention to what you got to pay attention to. But if somebody starts to bring stuff into it, yeah, then call the cops or call park rangers or whoever you need to.
There it is. So, Rick, you don't drink. You live in East Aurora. You haven't had any issues with the law out there or the lack of a law up there.
Absolutely not. You know, with the Music Fest, the biggest thing that we have an issue with is parking. And most of those people are just trying to find a place to park. But it has nothing to do with everybody kind of wandering around town, enjoying some music, enjoying their friends and family. This is much ado about nothing.
Well, appreciate the call, Rick. And, you know, that's the, right, it's, in most cases, I don't think it would be that big of an issue.
Right.
But I see why the law is on the books, too. I mean, you just don't want people roaming around the middle of the day.
As you said.
Getting drunk on the street.
There it is. Right. We're not talking about people responsibly enjoying a beverage or two. It's people just sitting at the park all day and then, yeah, being a distraction or a menace to society.
Which I think is kind of how the law already operates.
Like you said, yeah.
You know, for the most part, if you're walking down your street, you're drinking something, you know, whatever it might be, and you're just minding your own business, smelling the roses.
No one's gonna.
Yeah. You're probably not going to be stopped because of what's in your hand. If you're causing trouble, if you're, I don't know, you're lighting fireworks as you're walking down the street, maybe that's something.
Walking
different.
Into the street?
You might get, yes, walking into the street, stumbling down the street, maybe that's a little bit different. Right there.
Yeah, and someone on the Volkswagen Fortune Park text board, where you can also text 803-0930. Someone said, is everyone such an alcoholic they can't take their kids to the park during the day without drinking? I think we're talking about going to the park maybe with a significant other, with a few friends. I think that's what the purpose of having a drink on a nice summer day at the park is. And it's not always, I can't believe I have to have this conversation. Well, I don't have to. I'm making myself. You know, over the weekend, right? Saturday was a beautiful day outside. I got a nice seltzer, sat on my patio. It was great. Now, if I could take that and go for a nice, lovely walk in the village of Williamsville, that would be fine. That's one drink. It's just because it goes well with the summer air that we had over the weekend. So it's not always about, oh my gosh, they're drinking. They must want to get drunk. That's not the case. Just well, I had to put that disclaimer.
Why not just
there.
Have a water?
Because I was craving a seltzer beverage, Brian.
They make seltzer water.
You're right. You know what? I don't know. I was craving that beverage at that time, and I thought, I've worked a long week. I'm going to have this beverage.
You say beverage a lot.
I do say beverage.
That's in your lexicon of just, I mean.
My go-to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably the only person I know who does that.
This says beverage?
Yeah. Hmm. You and, like, signs at an arena.
That's right. No beverages.
Yeah. That's.
No beverages beyond this point.
These are the two places I see or hear that word. Toby, you're on WBEN. What are you thinking about this?
I don't mind it, but there has to be two little kind of caveats to go with it. No glass containers whatsoever still has to be the rule, because that's where, you know, the kids are playing in their flip-flops or getting caught, whatever.
Yep.
I mean, me and my family, we enjoy multiple parks, city, state, county, national forest, everything. And that's the glass is the number one thing. That's the negative. The other thing is that the parks that are carry out, where they don't have full-time maintenance people or whatever, they need to have trash receptacles by the parking area, not each individual picnic grove or by the playground. They need to have it where the people are carrying out. No one's putting bags of trash in their car. You know what I mean? So if you're going to start having beverages, and more people are going to add food to that. There's going to be more waste. There need to be better trash receptacles in these parks.
Hey, I like the ideas, especially, you know, no glass rule. You keep that.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
Toby, I think a lot of people would agree with you. Thanks for the call. It's, yeah, no glass, right? And that's, I've stopped, a lot of places have that rule, like no glass containers, period. You know, right. No alcohol, but also no, you can't bring, like, you know, juicy juice in a glass container or, you know, a Mexican Coca-Cola in the glass bottle. Doesn't work out because no glass allowed for that reason. I basically have stopped buying glass bottles of pretty much anything.
I think most people have. Like a Snapple.
You want to take it somewhere. Okay. And, you know, whether that's, it could be a, you know, the parking lot at the stadium on a game day or anything like that. You want to be able to take.
You're not bringing bottles.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's bottles. It just doesn't seem very convenient for that. And then someone chiming in, 803-0930, it comes down to personal responsibility.
Yes.
Held accountable for your actions. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it, right? It's you know, just like everything, some people can handle it, some people can't.
Right.
Some people can handle being in a bar, some people can't. And this would pretty much be no different. Some people are going to be able to handle it, some people can't.
Right.
I think you kind of get that, though, just by leaving the law the way it is. Because if you are a person who can handle it, and you're minding your own business, and everything like that, yeah, you'll be fine. You'll pretty much be left alone.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, like you said, people do it every weekend in the summer, every day in the summer.
Every day. I see it. You know, people playing, throwing around the Frisbees, hitting the chains.
Beer league softball.
That's right.
All those parks.
In public parks.
Yeah, all those parks have the same rule.
Someone said, how do you know it's Mexican Coke? That's in the glass bottle.
Right.
I thought that was common knowledge. Is that not?
You're talking about the ones from Chipotle.
I mean, from anywhere.
Right.
You buy it anywhere. You buy it in the supermarket. If it's in the glass bottle, it's usually in the Hispanic food section.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And it Goya drinks and then the Coke or Pepsi. If it's in the glass bottle, that's imported from Mexico. They use real sugar. That's right. The difference.
Yes.
And it's in glass. So some people think it tastes a little bit. I thought that was like a common knowledge thing.
I knew exactly what you were talking about.
Some parks have a rule you carry in, carry out. I agree with the last caller about that, you know, just
have a designated area.
Add a dumpster or something by where you park. And I think that might go a long way.
Because you have a carry in, carry out, there are going to be people who don't follow it. And I get that. That's part of the personal responsibility thing. But let's be honest, less people are going to follow that than any other rule. So you have a big thing there for people to throw their trash into. I think that saves a lot of people from running over your cans, running over your trash, and just have a place to put all the trash.
All right. Hey, we've been talking all throughout this morning about Buffalo as a housing market. Fifth best for first-time home buyers. This is a study. You know, a survey. What would you call it? They call it a study. I don't know how scientific this is, but Bankrate.com, they do a lot of these things. They put out this thing, you know, the best markets for first-time homebuyers. And Buffalo comes in fifth best.
Wow.
Fifth best. Pittsburgh, Minneapolis, Cincinnati, Kansas City, and Buffalo. Top five metros for first-time homebuyers. Why? Well, they say Buffalo kicks butt on affordability. Now, Joe, I'm saying this out loud, hoping that somebody who's listening to this, driving around the car, who's in the market to buy a home, is going insane hearing that we're great for affordability, and this is one of the best areas in the country to buy that house for the first time. Because if you are in the market for a house, and I've heard the stories time and time again, it is madness.
Yeah.
And that's first time, second time, third time, any time home buyers. It is absolutely crazy. Do you agree with that? Buffalo number five. You got to let us know. 803-0930.
Yeah. We'll take your calls, take your texts, and Brian and I will have something to say about it. After the break, you're listening to BMAZ and Beamer here on WBEN.
It's Beamaz and Beamer, News Radio 930 WBEN.
We're back here, Beamaz and Beamer, here on WBEN, 803-0930, to join us today on a nice Tuesday morning. You know, we mentioned this before the break. Buffalo, in a recent survey, whatever you want to call it, from Bankrate.com, ranked as the fifth best metro area for first-time homebuyers, behind Pittsburgh, Minneapolis, Cincinnati, and Kansas City. Why Buffalo? Well, they said they were fifth overall, top 10 in affordability and housing market tightness. Just, I mean, a little bit of a different, but they rank things on how affordable something is, employment opportunities in the area, safety, wellness and culture. I mean, these are all kind of, you know, they're undefinable terms, but they found a way to define them, make the ranking, and they put Buffalo up there. I can't imagine hearing that all throughout the morning, and if you're in the market to buy a home, thinking, oh yeah, that makes sense. Buffalo's a great place to buy a home because, well, quite frankly, buying a home right now has got to be terrible.
Yes, that's what I hear.
Tons of offers declined. Multiple offers per house at asking price or higher. The price of a home up, even from just 2 years ago, 5 years ago. There's a home on my street, Joe, for sale. It recently sold. The family moved in. Now they're moving out of the area. It is on the market for, and I have no doubt it will sell for probably even more than this, $50,000 more than what it was bought for 2 years ago.
Wow.
And you know what changed in the house? Nothing.
I was going to say, what happened?
Absolutely nothing.
And you're right. If that's the listing price, nothing's going for listing price.
So you're talking maybe more than $50,000 yep. from just a couple of years ago. So how in the world could Buffalo rank in the top five of metropolitan areas? Well, I guess everywhere else is just that much worse, right?
Well, I was going to say Buffalo started at such a lower point, right? Because even before this housing market issue, right, Buffalo was the cheaper end of the housing market, the cheaper end of affordability of living. We've always seen those studies. So Buffalo's been there. I'm interested to see where they were on a list, you know, 2 or 3 years ago for affordability. So, yeah, for us in Western New York, this is like, oh my gosh. But when you started so low and now you're catching up to what houses were going for in other parts of the country, in other top 50 metro markets 2 or 3 years ago, well, if you're looking at it nationwide, you're like, wow, look at that. That's pretty affordable. But for us in Buffalo, it's something we haven't seen. It's a way over where we were just 18 months ago.
Has a little bit to do with who we're up against, too. Consider this. Several California metropolitan areas were in the bottom in the affordability ranking. Imagine that. San Jose, San Francisco, San Diego, Sacramento, Riverside, all in the bottom 10 or bottom 5 of affordability. L.A., Las Vegas, Seattle, Riverside, and San Jose, the bottom 5 in the overall rankings that they put here. And yeah, when you put Buffalo up against, now it is a little unfair to put it up against a huge city, right, like L.A. or San Francisco, but you know, if you're speaking to, you know, somebody who might have graduated college not that long ago, they have a job where maybe you can work from just about anywhere. Yeah. Why in the world would you pick somewhere like San Francisco over Buffalo and Western New York? Why would you spend gobs and gobs of money for what? Probably something as big as these two studios that we're broadcasting from.
Right.
When you can get something with a yard in a nice area where you don't have to have an app on your phone that tells you where not to walk because there's crap on the sidewalk.
Right.
Literally.
Yeah. Right. I mean, the freedom some people have with their jobs now, you can, it's not, oh, I'm looking at this street and this street. It's, I'm looking at this city and this city.
But does it fall there for you? And if you're looking for a home and you hear that, that Buffalo is one of the best areas, I mean, are you falling out of your chair or does it sound about right? 803-0930.
Or have you just moved to Buffalo, maybe moved back to Buffalo from somewhere else in the country, and you're listening to this going, no, guys, this is actually pretty good. You're hearing this and saying, yeah, I just moved here from, you know, Richmond, or I just moved here from L.A. I moved back to Buffalo, and yeah, it's steep, but nothing like what we're seeing where I just relocated from. And someone put on the text board, Brian, I'm interested to know this as well, talking about the housing market, has the, and this is something you and I talked about a few weeks ago, has the current housing market forced you or made you consider selling your house, even though you weren't going to do it for another decade? But you think, you know what, I can get a cheap townhouse, a cheap condo, and my house will never be worth this again, right? Eventually, these prices may go down. I don't know. Have you thought of taking advantage and maybe moving out earlier than you than originally planned?
I think about it all the time, and I have no plans of ever moving. but you see the, you know, I use the example right on my street of $50,000 in added value in 2 years with, you know, I saw the pictures inside. It's not like I'm living there, but maybe they cleaned the ducts. But there's nothing that you can see.
Right.
I mean, it didn't get worse, certainly. It was upkept, but there's no noted improvement that I would say, wow, $50,000 of added value to the house. And I'm looking at, you know, what we paid almost 6 years ago now and thinking, wow, we could make pretty good. But then where would you live? That's the problem.
That's, as someone puts on the text board, yeah, the next thing is you're going to overpay for wherever you move to from that. But, you know, there are people who might be close to retirement, might be retired. They're thinking, oh, you know, 5-10 more years in this house, but they see what they can get. Maybe move, maybe downsize a little quicker. I mean, again, if it makes you a profit, if what you're looking to downsize in is way overpriced as well, well then, you know, I'm just way out there.
Somebody chiming in, compared to most everywhere else, Buffalo actually is affordable. And that's always the allure, right?
Yes.
Of Buffalo?
Always has been.
It's an affordable place to live. You have some big city amenities, small town charm.
Yep.
And it's affordable, unlike some of these other places. Somebody else chiming in saying that they have a somewhat similar, a comparable apartment to their brother who lives in San Francisco. They're paying about $700 a month, whereas in San Francisco, they're paying about $1,900 a month. And I'm actually surprised that it's that cheap.
That seems, yeah.
In both cases, $700 is a steal.
Steal.
My old apartment, Joe, was $600 a month. That was unheard of, you know, even 7 years ago or so. And I can't imagine finding anything that like that now. Rents are up and up and up. And, you know, that's another thing that I always find peculiar is you see more and more of these places. Everyone wants to build a condo area or, you know, somewhere to rent. You see the apartments in One Seneca Tower, a lot of these downtown lofts and things like that. And I was always a little confused by that because there's high prices for rent for a lot of these. And I always thought the allure of Western New York was the yard and having the space and being able to pay little comparatively
to own.
To own a larger space, to kind of have some wiggle room, some elbow room, to not share a wall, basically is what I'm saying. Now, there's a lot of things that go into it. Not everyone wants to keep up with the home and do all those sorts of things, but I do always find it a little strange when I see high-priced apartments in Buffalo, and I think to myself, well, you could probably have a pretty nice house for that. Not everybody wants it, but it's just one of the things that I think about.
You are seeing a lot of those buildings go up, Brian. You know,
it's all over the place.
There's a new complex that just went up on Young's in Amherst, another one in Lancaster. I mean, we can go on and on. It's all over Western New York. I don't remember ever seeing this much at once being done.
Yeah, absolutely. Kathy is in South Buffalo. Now you're on WBEN. Kathy, when you hear that Buffalo number 5 in the rankings, if you're looking for a home, what do you think?
kind of strange to me, because I look at some of the things I see on television and the prices of homes in other places are insane. But on the other hand, I was looking at apartments. I mean, to go into one of these big apartment complexes, because I'm older, I'm talking between $4,000 and $5,000 a month, some of them are.
It's,
I don't understand how an apartment could cost that much. And you said about all those developments out that way. Well, I went past to friends at a nursing home, and right before them on South Park Avenue is a complex of massive, massive houses, apartment. They obviously are apartments called, I think, the Oaks or something. I can't even comprehend what they would charge.
Now, Kathy, were you looking to move into an apartment? That's why you're looking at these prices?
I was thinking about selling my house because the market's high. My father bought this house in 1950, paid $10,000.
How much of a premium, or how much more would you be willing to pay for the amenities that come with, you know, not being in a home anymore? You know, for example, you don't have to cut the grass anymore. You know, all these little things that you're not taking care of anymore. Is that worth extra money to you, or do you look at it as the trade-off is I don't have my space?
Well, I like both things. I like the idea of no maintenance, no upkeep, one floor, you know, compact apartment, not having four floors to keep up with. I mean, I've got a 2.5-story house. 4 bedrooms, it's huge. And I look at the prices people are getting for their homes, and I mean, a house not too far from me went for $300,000. I mean, and it sounds really good until you look at the price of the apartment complexes. They're out of range. I mean, well, they're not out of range, but I think it's insane at my age to pay $3,000 a month for an apartment.
Yes.
Especially if it's not like a South Beach condo, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, it's not an oceanfront property.
Yeah, $3,000 is steep.
That for that.
For Buffalo.
Florida coast or something, but not to go and live, you know, 4 miles from where I live now and pay 10 times what I have to pay here.
Ooh.
I mean, it's just nuts. I don't know how people, even when you sell your property, how long is, say, $100,000, $200,000 going to last you when you're paying $3,000 to $4,000 a month for an apartment? It's not going to last that long.
Yeah.
Plus all the other things, your car and, you know, all the other things you have besides your house, even if it's paid for.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Kathy, thank you for the call. And it's a dilemma I think a lot of people have. If you wanted to move out of your house and then you're looking at these prices of, you know, maybe you were downsizing to a condo, or you thought you'd be downsizing to, this is one thing I hear a lot, is people who wanted to downsize to like a ranch. You're living in a house maybe like Kathy's, an older home, a bigger home. You want to downsize to one of these things. Well, the trouble is, those are very popular, and that idea is very popular. So
yeah,
you think, okay, I'm going to downsize. I'll make some money on my home. I'll have more than enough to cover for this smaller house. So fast. It's definitely like a shock. And I think, you know, when you look at that and then you see actually Buffalo ranks out pretty well, it's incredible. But then you hear these stories of somebody, all right, someone's daughter moved to L.A., starter home, $875,000 for a tiny house. And I actually can't believe you got it that cheap, honestly. Right?
That does seem cheap. I thought there was an extra zero in that price, Brian, when I first read that text.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. And then someone else saying, and it's... It doesn't play into these rankings, but maybe it should. That, you know, they moved to Ohio or to Buffalo from Ohio. What keeps the person in Buffalo is the people, the food, and the culture. And I agree
with
that a lot. That you get, it's like an added bonus onto the value. Not only are you paying less than you would in another metro area, but hey, you get a pretty nice place to live in, too.
That's right.
You know, and there's not many big-time cities that offer, I mean, the food. People think of food, you know, chicken wings, beef on whack, but
everything.
You can go to really nice restaurants here.
Yes.
you can enjoy professional sports, big concerts. Garth Brooks, we were just giving away tickets this morning. Listen again tomorrow morning for another chance to win. You have all of that in an area that doesn't cost as much as a city where you would expect all of that.
Right. And but like you said, Brian, it also has that small town charm because, you know, anyone you run into in Buffalo has a connection to someone you know. Right. I mean, if you don't know that person directly, you know someone who knows that person. That's how it always is in Buffalo. You can always find the way to where you guys know a mutual person.
And then someone chiming in about how I move because I hate the weather. And, you know, I get that. A lot of people will. And they move to Florida. I know just as many people who would hate the weather in Florida.
Yes.
I land in the Florida airport, and I always have that, you know, wherever in Florida. It doesn't matter. It anywhere south of, Virginia or something. You can land in Carolina. It's always the same story for me. If it's in, you know, anywhere from March to October, you walk through the airport, right? It's fine. All right. You know, we're here. And then you walk outside. Those airport doors open. And then it's like walking into a brick wall.
It hits you. Yep.
Of heat and humidity. And I'm just immediately, ugh. And I'm like sweating through my clothes. And I wonder to myself, how can people, is it like this every day? Is
you
this
adjust.
Especially hot?
You adjust.
Do you?
That's why people that live in Florida, when they come back to Buffalo and it's 65, they're wearing a hoodie.
Yeah, that's maybe true. But I would feel the opposite. I would not be able to stand the weather in Florida or some of these other places where it's super warm all the time. So that's where you say to each their own.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to go somewhere different on when you get off the airplane. When you first step from the plane to the tunnel to get back to the airport, and there's that little space between the plane and the airport.
Oh, yeah, there. You feel it there.
Yeah.
You just get a little taste, though. It's like a brief. You're like, that was interesting. Is the heater on? And then you step, oh, no, that was just the outside. That was the literal sun cooking me. That's it. And then this person who's chiming in, there has to be a course correction eventually. Everything's all out of whack.
That's what I keep thinking.
Right, and we bring this up all the time, Joe Schlesinger, you know, any of these economic experts, you know, what happens here? Is there some sort of correction in place? And there's a couple of things that I keep hearing, right? One is you would think that, but maybe not, right? It's prices don't always crash, you know, it doesn't always have to ebb and flow. It could plateau. They could continue to go up for a while. It doesn't necessarily need to crash. So that's not a definite. And then the other thing is, okay, well, that might happen, but it is anybody's guess as to when that happens. And that's the hard part, right? You love to think of, all right, I'm going to sell my home, going to get a great price, and then everything's going to crash and come back down to reality, and I'm going to move somewhere else. But timing that, I mean, it's what they always say, timing the markets. It's impossible to time the markets.
Yeah, if you do, congratulations, but I think most of you are not going to be able to do it. I mean, remember, Brian, a year ago, you were told that everything was going to start to settle out before summer. Or, I know it's not technically summer yet, but, you know, before June. And here we are, no end in sight for the common person.
You kind of thought it would happen. Not so much, but hey, I like the survey because it does keep things into perspective.
It reminds,
it's not just us.
Yes, and it reminds Buffalo that, hey, we're still, I don't want to use the word reasonable, Brian, but compared to the rest of the country, we are still that reasonable place to live when it comes to pricing.
Well, you know what? Reasonable probably is the good word to use because I don't know if I'd want to use affordable anymore.
Right, yeah.
I don't, is it affordable? I don't know. Is it reasonable? Yeah. I mean, compared to everything else, you have to say yeah if you're looking at the entire country. It is reasonable. Affordable is a totally different...
Yes.
I mean, that's a different ballgame.
Very loose with that word.
I don't know if we're talking about affordable anymore, but still number five on those rankings. Pittsburgh was number one, by the way. Didn't beat out Buffalo in affordability, but, you know, some of the other factors. That's a bigger city. So you get some of those other, you know, bigger city amenities.
But as you mentioned, affordability was the one thing that you can actually point to. Everything else is a personal point of view.
You know what, by the way, that I love about Buffalo, too, is if you ever do get sick of Buffalo and what we have here, you know, Pittsburgh, it brings this to mind. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Toronto, New York City, if you want, even Rochester, you know, Columbus, hey, or Philadelphia. I mean, they're all really a drive away,
yeah,
or an extremely short flight, and one of the cheaper flights. You can go to, you know, some big event happening in Toronto or Pittsburgh or, you know, Cleveland or any of these other places that are right nearby pretty easily from Buffalo. And I was thinking about this a few years ago when I was in Denver visiting a friend, and we're in a restaurant, and I see the billboards, all the upcoming concerts. I was like, wow. I mean, you get every tour comes through here. This is amazing. You get everything. This is so cool. But then I'm thinking, well, you have to, because there's nowhere else within like a million miles of this place that there's no like next town over that I'm going to go be able to see this person if they're not stepping here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no quick drive anywhere, you know, unless you're going to a mountain,
right,
which is cool. But
it's fun, yes.
It's not like it is here. I mean, here you have those options to change your scenery. I mean, a completely different culture you're talking about. You know, Pittsburgh, Toronto, they're so different,
yeah,
from Buffalo in a lot of ways. You don't get that everywhere.
No.
And that's another thing that's very cool about Western
New York. A getaway is 4 hours or less.
And I like it.
Yeah,
That's pretty cool. We'll be back here tomorrow. We're going to get away now, and we'll be back in the heat of Wednesday.
Hopefully.
If we don't melt away. BMaz and Beamer on WBEN.